Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still thrilled because tonight we will continue our study from the book of 1 Timothy. And we know that 1 Timothy is an exciting lesson. In fact, it is a great lesson in tutoring from Paul. Paul instructs Timothy how to teach and to establish new churches. And Paul gives Timothy excellent ways of stimulating people to hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, because of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost to guide both Paul and Timothy, there is no better way of planting and watering the flock than what is written in the letters to Timothy by Paul. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops and tablets and your Bible apps or regular Bibles, if you will, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we'll have a commercial break, which I like to consider it, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host of the show has set up a chat room, and you can go into the room and you can ask those questions and inquire. Now, before we get started, I want to always take up time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, as always, the theme song for the show, as it suggests, the question for the hour is, are you, are we standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? We know that God said through Isaiah the prophet, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in the judgment thou shalt condemn. Now this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Now the promise is that no weapon shall prosper, and those who speak against thee shall be condemned. Because this is a heritage, this is heritage from the Lord. And that is if we make sure that we are part of his godliness. God also said through King David, great peace have them that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalms 119, verse 165. And again, the promise is the great peace. We're talking about the peace that passeth all understanding, my precious brothers and sisters. We're talking about the reconciliation back to God. That's the peace that I'm talking about. And through that peace, you're going to get your serenity and your tranquility and your solace, your calmness, and your quietness, all of those attributes, all of those elements that give you the calmness that you need to get through the day will be yours if you love the Lord. And again, God said through Moses, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. My brothers and sisters, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 tells us the promise being you're going to be set on high above all the nations of the earth. You're going to be okay, in other words, if you keep God's commandments. So again, the question is for this hour, are you standing on the promises of God and or Jesus Christ? Now, before we get started, I want to remind you, as I always do again, that we know that the Bible is written in code, and that means in mysteries and secrets and parables and prophecies and proverbs and paradoxes and riddles and in symbols. That's just to name a few. The word of God is cloaked in clairvoyance, as I told you last week. That means it is beyond our comprehension. It's out of sight what it's giving and has prepared for us, those who study and dig into it. And the only way to break it, of course, is through study and learning. And that's what we're all about. So let's get to the study. All right. We're going to go to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is a mystery of godliness. And of course, we know that the whole Bible, as I mentioned to you, is cloaked, covered in some type of deeper meaning. In fact, that deeper meaning is a spiritual meaning. And that spiritual meaning is the meaning that we want to draw out of the physical context of the writing. All right, so 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us this way. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. That is telling us about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reason that it is so mysterious is because it is God who was made flesh and dwelt among us. And our concept of birth or those who dwell among us is physical. But this is a spiritual concept that you can only unfold through the Spirit. And that's why it is a mystery to the flesh. Now, this is how Jesus put it in the book of Matthew. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. This is still a more enhanced version. This is what Jesus said about it instead of Paul. This is not the comparison. We'll go to the comparison next, but we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 3 and several other verses, and this is what Matthew had to say about it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 says, "And Jesus spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now, 10 through 15 gives us the details. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in the parables?" And this is what Jesus said. This is why it's cloaked in mystery. "He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given," meaning those who obey the word of God, they will know, not those who don't know. And then he said, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. And that is telling us those who are a part of the flock of Jesus Christ, those are the ones who's going to receive more. Even though Jesus created all humanity, only those who seek him is going to receive the more in abundance. Those who do not, even what they have available to them, will be taken away from them. Verse 13 says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing are not, see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And this is why, because of Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to read that next. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye hear and hear not and shall not understand, and seeing ye see not and shall not perceive. So that is the enhanced part of why the Bible is written in code. Now I see we're past our break, so we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and complete the lesson thought.
All right, you have to learn to pray. You learn to pray in the same way. Lord, teach us to pray. Now remember, in living this Christian life, you don't have to live it alone. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The moment you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you to give you the power, the strength, the wisdom, the courage to live the Christian life. Now the Holy Spirit also helps in your prayer life. The scripture says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray. Now may I make a suggestion? There are so many people that say, well, I don't feel like praying. I only pray when I feel like it. Then you're wrong. You should have a definite time and place every day to pray. You have an appointment. You have an interview with Almighty God. Suppose you had an interview with President Eisenhower tomorrow morning. You'd get up and say, well, I don't feel like seeing the President this morning. Or suppose you were going to be presented to the Queen. Well, I don't feel like it this morning. No, you'd be there. You'd be dressed in your best. You'd go and present yourself to the Queen. Well, every day, God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is waiting. He has given you an audience at any time of the day, and you fail to keep your appointment. Have a definite time that you set aside and pray when you least feel like it. The will is involved here, too. You say, I don't feel like it. All right, your emotion, your body says, I don't feel like it. My mind says, I don't feel like praying. My will makes me go and spend time in prayer, because prayer is work. Prayer is work. And many times you make yourself keep your appointment with God, and out of some of those moments come your most precious moments and some of your greatest answers to prayer.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete the instruction on the, this is a mystery of godliness. We already know what Timothy had to say, or what Paul said to Timothy about it, and what Jesus had to tell his apostles about it. Now this is what the Old Testament complement says about it, and it's in Isaiah. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And this is what the prophet said to Israel through God. And the prophet said, go and tell this people, or at least God told the prophet. God said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not, because they're looking at this physically. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert and be healed. Now that is the key, conversion and healing, in order to receive the secrets of the mysteries of God. Now, we know what Paul says. We have to walk by sight of God and not by sight of the flesh. And this is what Israel, or God is telling the prophet to tell Israel, that because they're physically minded, they're not going to see what they need to see because they haven't been converted and healed. Let me share a little extra with you, my brothers and sisters. Now, to convert, we know that in Psalms 19, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting. And that is where we get our conversion, from the law of the Lord. It is perfect. And that is where the commandments come into play that we need to obey in order to be converted. And then to heal, we go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, and it says, with his stripes we are healed. And that is how we're healed, through the resurrection, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you have to have both God and Jesus in order to get the details of the meaning of the Bible. And that is what is so important for us to understand. Without both, you're going to be lacking. Okay? This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the mystery of the Bible will be hidden from us until we obey God. God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Okay, my brothers and sisters, that's what I want you to get from this instruction. All right, let's go back to Timothy, the 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 1 and 2 in Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And what I want you to do is take this instruction under consideration, or keep this instruction in mind as I read the text to you. This is the instruction in Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy, take heed that the faith of many shall weaken. This is so significant for us to understand that, of course, I mentioned we walk by faith and not by sight. We know that it's impossible to please God without faith. That's what the Hebrew writer says. And that through faith, 2 John tells us, we get our victory. So we know that there's going to be, or we are told that there's going to be a weakening because of the besetting of sin, if you will. And this is, now Matthew gives us more of a significance to that. And we're going to go to Matthew first, just to add to what Paul is warning Timothy. And we're going to see in Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus gives this detail in abundance to his apostles. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 and 5, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? And then through verse 10 through 14, Jesus gives details. Jesus says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another because of what they have been deceived, and they will weaken, as the instruction suggests. Verse 11 says, and many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. Again, many will say things that are contrary to the way of God. Verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we're going to look around. Many are going to look around and see what the majority is doing. And because the majority is doing it, it must be right. And you know that old saying about seeing the forest because of the trees. If you're stuck in the thicket of the woods, you will not see the forest for what it's worth. Verse 13 says, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we're going to have an exodus, if you will, a falling away. And it is so significant to note that this was told way back in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now what we're going to do is look at Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, and we're going to see how Paul put it to Timothy. This is what Paul told Timothy. Paul said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. And we just read what Jesus the Christ said. So the Spirit of Jesus has identified it. that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So we can see that what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 24 is what Paul is reiterating, but of course not in the details that Jesus gave to us. Now what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to see how it was put in the Old Testament. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Exodus, and we're going to look at Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, and this is what happened to Israel, Moses being a part of this. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wrought not of what is become of him. Their faith was waning because Moses disappeared for a length of time up on the mountain. And so the Israelites lost hope. And this is what happened in concluding the thought, verse 7 and 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get down, for thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, hath corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a golden calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed unto it, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So you see what happens when the majority rules, and that is exactly what will happen to us. But remember, Jesus says that those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And that is so significant. In fact, that is what we should take away from this spiritually, that the promise of Jesus is that those that keep the law, endure till the end, they shall be saved. And that's what I want you to get from the reading of this particular instruction. I see now that there's time for a commercial break. Let's go to our commercial break, then we'll continue.
Because of what happened in a moment, somebody got in the way. That's a moment. You've been stuck for 38 years. Because of what somebody did in a moment, you let a moment leave you stuck for 38 years. You let what somebody did when you was 12 leave you stuck for 38 years. You mean the 38 years of your life has been restricted because of some other human being who got in the fight line of what you were trying to do in the kingdom? And don't you understand that you punished them with your palsy? How do you think your being stuck is punishing who got in your way? It's not like they've been by the pool for 38 years. You've been by the pool for 38 years because of them. He went on with his life. She went on with their life. They went on and got married again. They went on and started another ministry. They're singing in the choir. And you have been stuck for 38 years. Stuck in the stumbling place. I'm fixing to. I'm better than I was. I'm working on me. Leave me alone. I'm not there yet. There's a reason I'm hurting like this. I don't trust anybody. I don't love anybody. I don't open up to anybody. I'm stuck for 38 years. Leave me alone. I'm here because somebody got in my way when I was trying to get out of this situation. And you've been locked up for 38 years? Who is worth it that you would give them 38 years? That's what I want to know. Who is worth 38 years of your life. I don't care what they did. I don't care who they did it with. Who is worth you being stuck, staring, and stumbling for 38 years? You could have changed the world. You could have built a house. You could have started a career. You could have opened a business. You could have had a life. You could have recorded an album. You could have written a book. You could have done anything. But you've been stuck, staring, and stumbling.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction, instruction number 19. We're turning with me again back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to take another instruction from chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verse 3 through 5, and this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text to you. Beware of these false doctrines. Well, we know that most of what the world says about God is incorrect. It's either incorrect on purpose or it's incorrect because of ignorance. But we know that it is misleading, saying the least, unless you focus and concentrate on what God says. So these false doctrines, Paul is identifying to Timothy to be careful. And this is what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. He says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, we're only talking in this instance about the falsities of marriage and from the meat that was being used to sacrifice to idols, and then to consummate the sacrifice, they would eat the meat. So these are the ones that at that time plagued Israel. And that's why Timothy was told that by Paul, focusing on those specifically. But let's go to the New Testament and we're going to see how Jesus expands upon this. And the reason I'm doing it is to give you a more overwhelming or a brighter view on these false doctrines. And this is how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 23. And we're going to read several verses, and verse 1 and 2 to begin with, this is what Jesus said. Jesus spake to the multitudes and to his apostles. He said, the scribes and the Pharisees, those teachers and all of those motivational speakers and the like, they sit in Moses' seat. And then he went to 13, let's go down for more of the information that he's giving us, or he gave them. Jesus says, in 13 verse 16, but woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, those who are outside of Christ, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. You're going to say whatever it takes to keep folks out of church. Verse 14, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. You're going to tell the people anything. In fact, what you use as your point of reference, that the end justifies the means. Then verse 15 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. You're going to take over area and territory and compel those who were there before you to commit and consent to what you say and nothing else. Verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. And again, you're going to say that money is what will satisfy both body and soul. You do what the law says, and if it is immoral, irrelevant. It will justify itself at the end. And now we're going to complete the thought that Jesus gave, and we're going to look at verse 23 through 25. And this is what verse 23 says. And he shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the name of the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereunto. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave undone. Again, Jesus is saying that you're saying be a good citizen, but being a good citizen does not be becoming an immoral spirit or child of God. Ye blind guides, which strain in a gnat and swallow a camel. And we know what happens in debates and in contestation and in all of those other forms, you know, of argumentation that tries to dissuade people from doing what is morally correct. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within there are full of extortions and excess, meaning there's wolves in sheep's clothing trying to get you and convince you to do things that are immoral. And that is what Jesus is telling Israel at the time. And this is more illuminating, I think, than what Paul told Timothy. That's one reason I wanted to give you what Jesus said to the Israelites in Matthew chapter 23. Now let's go to the Old Testament complement, and we're going to see how this compares and agrees. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, and we're going to see what the prophet told Israel in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, that compares and agrees with what Jesus and what Paul told Timothy and what Jesus told Israel. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. So God, Israel is being told that they must follow God and not what others are telling them. And verse 8 through 10 completes the thought. Verse 8 through 10 says, now go, write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come and forevermore and forever. We have no excuse. We have basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, to give us what we need. 66 books. It gives us the details of what we need. Then verse 9 says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which says to the seer, see not, and to the prophet, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophecy deceit, or prophesy deceit. So that is what the prophet told Israel at the time, and that compares and agrees with watching out for these false doctrines. And what I'm going to do now is tell you what it should mean to you spiritually in your life, that we must rightfully divide the word of truth and try every spirit, whether it be true, and be taught by the Holy Spirit. That is what we get from studying basic instructions before leaving earth, my brothers and sisters. We are told to try the Spirit, and we are told to be led by the Spirit. We are told that no man should teach you but the Spirit of God. And that's why we have the words written in our Bible to give us that direction. And now I see it's time for a break. So let's take a break, and then we'll get back to the rest of the lesson.
A lot of people talk a good game, don't they? They say they're going to do this and that. But when push comes to shove, they disappear. When it's game time, they're nowhere to be seen. They say they're going to be the greatest ever, but their work ethic shows average effort. They say they're going to be rich or famous, but their habits are poor and ordinary. Talking is not enough. You must do. Talking is not enough. You must put in the work. You must develop the habit of following through with your word. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. It's called integrity. When you honor your word, you build pride for yourself and respect from others. When you don't, when you talk the talk and never walk, you lose pride and you lose respect. Repeat to yourself every day. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. When it gets hard, I gave my word. If something comes up, I gave my word. I will get it done. I don't even have to think twice. I get it done. I will get it done. Talkers talk. Walkers walk. Don't tell them what you're going to do. Show them what you've done. Let your results speak for you. Results say more than words ever will. Keep your word. Do the work. Get the results. Game time. This is my word. I've said it. Now I will do it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with the lesson. We're on instruction number 20. Turn back with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at several verses, or look at one verse, verse 6. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. Remember to teach this. We should teach all of Genesis through Revelations, period. That is something that is very significant. But we're going to look at the one thing that Paul told Timothy to remember to teach this. And this is what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of the good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Now, at the time, we know that the Bible had not been compiled. So Paul was talking about many of what he learned through the Old Testament, more especially. And that's what he was giving reference to. Now, what we're going to do is go back to Matthew just to add some more impetus to what Paul says. We're going to go to Matthew. Turn with me, if you will, or with me, and go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to look at verse 27, and we're going to look through verse 30. And my brothers and sisters, this is all of what we need. Of course, to get into details, we have basic instructions before leaving earth, but this is what Jesus said, and this is what we need for salvation. Jesus says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And this is what he said in verse 27. All things are delivered unto me by my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So Jesus is saying that he is numeral number one this side of eternity now, that all things have been put into his hands. Remember, Jesus said it at the commission before he ascended into heaven. He says that all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto him by the Father. In fact, if you go to John chapter 17, verse 1 or 2, verse 2, it says that Jesus said to his apostles that all power has been given to him over all flesh by the Father to give eternal life to as many as he will. So again, that more specifically, if you want eternal life, you have to come through Jesus Christ. Now, this is what Jesus says in Matthew verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, not to your flesh necessarily, my brothers and sisters, but to your soul. That is what Jesus came. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he came to save that which is lost, not the flesh. The flesh has been condemned. It is going to burn up when the world is turned into a scroll of fire. But Jesus will save the soul. And Jesus said again in verse 29, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Again, there is so much said in verse 29 that the yoke of Jesus is the yoke that you want to have upon you, my brothers and sisters. You don't want the yoke of the world upon you. The yoke of the world will only lead to death. Remember what Paul says, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want that life and peace? You must have Jesus' yoke on you. And the only way you're going to secure that yoke, you can have the yoke put on you by confession, confessing his name. But the only way it's going to be secure where it won't come off, you have to learn of Jesus. And how do you learn of Jesus? You have to study the scriptures as we're doing now. Like it said about the Bereans in the book of Acts, that they studied the scriptures daily to see what was true. And the third or last verse, Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My precious brothers and sisters, I commend that to you, that if you're having overwhelming troubles, overwhelming anxieties, overwhelming strife, you need to check your yoke and make sure that your understanding or your learning of Jesus is enough, because he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You remember, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve the flesh and the spirit. It will not work. And that is what you're trying to do, I would think. If your yoke is not easy and your burden is not light, that you're straddling, trying to straddle the fence. And remember the Spirit speaking to the church of Laodicea, you can't be lukewarm. You can't be middle ground. It won't work. You got to be a zealot. You got to be a radical, as some theologians put it. You got to be an extremist. Yes, my brothers and sisters. So that is what I'm sharing with you that amplifies what Paul told Timothy. Now let's go to our Old Testament compliment. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to look at verse 1 through 17, and this is an extended reading, but the reason it is extended is because we need to rehearse and hear this again. And this is what God told Israel. Now, you must remember this, Israel, because Israel did not have the Lamb of God yet. And so, because they didn't have the Lamb of God, they needed to hear this and remember this and teach this. And this is what God spoke, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. I created you, my brothers and sisters. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or of anything of the likeness in the heavens above, in the heaven, earth beneath, or in the water. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So the inheritance of the knowledge of good and evil has been passed on. And that is something that we are saddled with, but we must overcome it through the knowledge of everlasting life. Verse 7 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And we're going to verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God promised to give thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbors. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy neighbor's manservant or his maidservant. Thou shalt keep these commandments. That is what we should remember even to this day, my brothers and sisters. Those Ten Commandments are so significant to our salvation. Now let's look at this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, is the main resource for salvation through Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, the main resource of our salvation is through Jesus Christ, and we get that through the writings of Genesis through Revelations. Okay, I see that we're on the last commercial time for this evening, so let's take a commercial break, and then we'll conclude with the lesson.
My message will be brief, and I want you to listen carefully and prayerfully and reverently, because for many of you, you will never be the same again. Not because of me, but because of the Word of God that can transform and change your life. You can leave here with your sins forgiven. You can leave here knowing that you're going to heaven. What a marvelous thing. You can leave here with peace in your heart in a troubled and torn world. Now I want you to turn with me tonight to the 10th chapter of Luke, and a very familiar passage that every young person here will relate to, young and old. The 10th chapter of Luke, beginning at the 25th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, Jesus was asked that same question about 19 times in his period of ministry that is recorded in the Gospels in various forms. He was asked that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And the answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But no one has ever done it. No one in the history of the human race has ever loved God with all his heart, mind, and strength, all of his life, and his neighbor as himself, all his life. That's the reason we've all come short. We're all sinners. And we all need to repent of our sins and find forgiveness at the cross. But he, willing still now to justify himself, as many of you would like to justify yourself, said, but who is my neighbor? See, he was a lawyer, and it was his job to cross-examine. He said, but who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering him said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was in the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and noticed he did 10 things. He had compassion on him, and he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, poured in oil, poured in wine, set him on his own horse, his beast, and took him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou, said Jesus to the lawyer, was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer answered, he that showed mercy on me. Then said Jesus, go thou and do likewise. Now this is not a parable. This is not a story that Jesus had made up. It's an actual event. And Jesus gave this story as an answer to these two questions that this lawyer asked. The first question, Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Everybody here would like to have eternal life. Everybody would like to know that when you die, you're going to heaven. You know you're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. You cannot escape death. But you'd like to know that you have eternal life. Now, eternal life does not begin at death. Eternal life begins the moment you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. There are many people that are here and now alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. You're dead toward God. You have no relationship and no fellowship with God whatsoever. You go to church and you go through all the rituals and you have religion, but you don't really have Jesus Christ. And so religion becomes rather dull to you. It's a disappointment to you. And so you try to find your kicks in drugs or sex or something else. You turn to other things to escape, because there's always this empty place in everybody's heart that only God can fill, because you were made in the image of God, and without God, there's an emptiness. There's a lacking. And you're always, all your life, searching for something, and you're searching for eternal life. You want eternal life. You can have eternal life right tonight. It could start tonight in your heart as Christ comes to dwell in your life and in your heart.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're on instruction number 21. Turn back again with me to 1 Timothy. We're going to look at chapter 4 again. We're going to take another instruction from chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 7 through 9, chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. And what I want you to pay attention to as I read the verses to you is this instruction. Refuse this. That is what we should be keeping in mind, that this is what we should refuse. And this is what Paul told Timothy. He said, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, all things having promised of the life that now is and of the things which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation, that godliness profiteth unto all things, but bodily exercise profiteth little. That's what Paul told Timothy. Now let's, again, I want to expand upon that. Go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to see how Jesus put it again in parabolic form, talking to the crowd. In Luke chapter 16, verse 13, he says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You are to refuse that which is ungodly. This is significant. Verse 15, he continues. Jesus said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. My precious brothers and sisters, did you hear that? That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. This is what you must refuse. Verse 18, he continues, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. My brothers and sisters, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, believe me, you can divorce your wife, but you cannot marry another. And that is the catch-all, all right? Or that is the rub, is, if you will. It's when you marry another. That's what causes that adultery to come into play. Verse 31, he completes the thought by saying in verse 31, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Again, my brothers and sisters, if you're not going to believe what is written in basic instructions before leaving earth, then you become the refuge and not saved. And that is the key to what Jesus was saying. Now let's go to our Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 14 through 16, and this is comparing and agreeing what we should refuse. This is what Isaiah the prophet told Israel in chapter 7 of Isaiah, verse 14 through 16. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. All right? Anything else, we refuse. And this is key. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. We have the gifts and fruits of God. We have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That's who we receive. And we will not be subjected to evil. We will choose the good. And verse 16 completes the thought. For before the child shall ye know, for before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be shaken for both her kings. So we know that you must choose Jesus. And if you don't choose Jesus, you're going to be lacking. And that is going to be problematical to you. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we refuse vanity. Remember what Solomon said. What profit hath a man of all of his labor that he taketh up under the sun? It is vanity. He says it is a sore travail and vexation of the spirit. And we know again, Jesus says, what profit hath a man of all of he does? What profit, and what would he give for his soul? That is key. So we must refuse vanity. We can't serve two masters. That is what we should get from this instruction. Okay, now let's go to the last instruction of the evening. We're going to go to back to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. And this is what the text says, but of course I want you to keep in mind this verse or this instruction. Exercise righteousness. Exercise righteousness. And this is what Timothy was told by Paul about that in verse 8 and 9. For bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of expectation or acceptation. So that is what we should be exercising, and that's our spirit to righteousness. And we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to see what it compares and agrees with the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. And 25, it says, and the Lord commanded us to do all things of these of his statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as to this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he commanded us. So keeping God's commandment, that's showing your righteousness, my brothers and sisters. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. To be correct with God, this side of eternity, is to keep his commandments. That's what I want you to get from this final instruction. Okay, then that completes the instructions for tonight. And as we are ready to conclude, I would like to say that the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement tonight. And good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.